It's the Rundown, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Chiclet boys are in town. They're running around. Pink Whitney is flowing. We got the holiday party this week, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of Pink Whitney there. It's the best vodka out there. It's the most affordable vodka out there. It's smooth. That's right. They got the flavors infused. Obviously, Ryan went with the pink lemonade, but they got all sorts of different flavors. The regular vodka, smooth, straight. You can, we take a shot of it every single time we do an episode of KFC Radio.
Hell yeah.
We do shots. You can do it as a mixed drink. You can do it as a martini, any combination. You can drink it in the warm weather, in the cold weather. It all works. Make sure you go get yourself a bottle of Pink Whitney. It's affordable. It's easy. The girls like it. The guys like it. Mm-hmm. It's like the Fireball, like perfect in between, where it's like it still gets the job done. Guys can drink it. Girls can drink it. Everybody's happy.
It's the perfect drink.
Go get yourself some New Amsterdam vodka, right. Specifically the Pink Whitney. We got Bobo and Ken Jack on the show.
The A crew. It's as they call
it. A team right here.
Well, it's appropriate, given what's going on right now with Star Wars dropping, Mandalorian's hot in the streets, so is Watchmen. It's time to shine, boys.
Love it. The nerds are taking over.
Yeah, we'll wrap up with Star Wars because I know you guys got the advanced screening. We won't be doing any spoilers or anything.
No,
but
never.
There's plenty of other celebrity, entertainment, actor type news to get to. We start off with Diddy's 50th birthday party, which was a couple days ago. I think it was over the weekend, I guess. And there's a couple funny videos from that. Jay-Z went viral a couple days ago, snatching the phone out of this guy's hand.
Hysterical the way he does it.
I mean, like a dad, like an old man. What are you doing?
Phones at the dinner table.
Exactly what it was.
It was like a security guard move. Big time security guard.
And that guy, I don't know who he is, but he's probably a pretty big deal in his own right. If you're at Diddy's 50th birthday
party, the invite,
even if you're the lackey, you're probably a pretty big deal. Because
you're at the level.
I mean, that place, that is short of DP 40.
Yeah.
Diddy 50. Probably like the greatest party of all time.
And once that phone snatched, you're nothing.
Oh, you're gone.
Even if you were the top of the chain,
you are now out of
business.
You're
at the bottom of the food chain.
You can't
beat
that.
Get that phone back and you gotta leave.
There's no
video of him smashing it. You know.
Yeah, that's he actually handled himself
sometimes
pretty
well. Sometimes that happens.
Because had he done that, he would have been like the villain. Now he's the protective hero at the moment.
You never want to be filmed on a phone against your will. I'm sure even people here, if they were being filmed and didn't know about it with a cell phone, they'd want to take the phone from wherever it was perched.
Absolutely.
And throw it.
Your not insinuating Connor did this, right? He smashed the phone, right?
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly, right.
Yeah, we settled that.
I'm usually on the side of anybody. I think James Harden threw a phone off of a fucking roof.
Tom Morello has one of the all-timers.
Yeah.
He's on stage.
He just threw it into the fucking
crowd. Yeah, right into the stands, yeah.
Shot puts it.
That is a great one. I'm usually all about that because it's just like, listen, you want to invade people's privacy,
yeah.
Then that's the risk you run. But to do it to, like, Beyonce, when Jay-Z's around, you got to know that that's fucking coming.
Know your lane.
Another video that came out of Diddy's party was blogged by our guy White Sox Dave with the headline Leonardo DiCaprio confirmed awful dancer.
Bad headline.
Bad headline, clickbait headline, or just a bad opinion. I mean, the video, it's just classic white guy dancing.
That's what we do.
He's just classic, like, it was like an old school bop, just kind of like.
He's sort of just having a good time. He's not like, hey,
he's
check
trying.
It out,
move, yeah.
Get off the dance floor, I'm about to do something.
Right.
Also, if Leo wanted to be a good dancer, Leo could be a good dancer.
I just think he can't do that.
It's not even dancing, he's just bopping. That's what you do. That is what we white people do.
That was the hitch.
The little like.
That's exactly how Hitch tells you. Like, you keep your feet planted.
Yes.
You move your shoulders.
A little one of those.
You maybe snap. You do a little clap. Piece,
nothing crazy.
That's it.
Yeah.
But there's the video.
Hit a point every time you see one of your guys.
Oh, mm-hmm. That guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have the Wolf of Wall Street gif where he does the.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure almost every actor who's good is also a singer and a dancer.
They all know how to play golf. They all can play an instrument.
Yeah. I guarantee you that he's not only not a bad dancer, but he's an awesome dancer. But even if this is all he had to offer, I think he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Totally good.
As a white guy, we just don't do too much.
Yeah,
there's much worse
try.
Looks for Leo. Leo's had weird looks when he's in the jacuzzi and there's
he's got the skinny fat thing going on.
Yeah, he's
with
fat.
The pussy
he refuses to touch the girls that he's with and only lets them touch him. Mm-hmm. All that, like, with the weird stories that come out, this is the least of Leo's worries.
If he had tried, it would have been 10 times worse. You never want to be the guy who tries to dance.
Or he would have been awesome. I mean, he's Leo.
Yeah, maybe it would have been great.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. Like, if you're not Leo, don't try.
Do not try. Please,
but
God.
I have a sneaking suspicion that guys who are talented like that also can move a little bit.
Yeah.
News that was yesterday, a continued headline here. Kumail Nanjiani has come out. He put up an Instagram of his shredded-ass body.
Dude's a unit.
And I loved it. So everybody, you know, the world went crazy because he went from basically skinny, fat comedian to superhero. And he basically confirmed what everybody else was saying. And that's, he said, direct quote, "I would never be able to do this if I didn't have the best resources and time and money and all that shit." And fucking steroids.
And steroids.
Probably.
Right?
Probably.
I mean, we've all say that.
Allegedly.
Do we really believe that?
Yes.
Like illegal, like he's doing, you know, is he just getting rich people like
it's
fancy
tough
supplements
or
is he doing
now?
Like
it's
anabolic
tough when you say
steroids.
Illegal now because usually steroids now mean like testosterone replacement and like HGH and shit like that. I bet it's more stuff like that.
It's not like he's injecting shit in his ass or whatever, but I don't think you get vascular like that unless you're doing something on the side.
He had those veins.
He's
doing
he's
whatever.
Got that Marvel drug.
Yeah. He's doing whatever was getting shipped to Peyton Manning's wife's house.
Okay.
Wife's house.
There
he
is.
And so I've been saying this for a long time. I want that.
Me too. It
I
should
think
be legal.
We all should be doing HGH.
You get cast in a Marvel movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the first
that's
step,
what
I
guess.
Yeah.
I just feel like.
I haven't. You know, tried to
get big.
Of course. I'm just waiting on
But if somebody were to give me HGH, I think I would be more motivated to go to the gym. Because I'd be like, the gym is not going
to
be.
I don't think you would
big.
Go to the gym.
If I had HGH
I
some results.
I feel like I know you. I don't think you'd go to the gym.
I think you would see results and then coast. That
because
would be
you
the problem.
Still have all this
Fine.
Shit. Like Kumail, they told him, like, bro, your job for the next year
you have
is to get in shape.
Yeah, I know.
And
but
that was like,
I'm not
going to
be like
about.
Him, but if I get some HGH in me and I know that, like, all right, I'm not just going to the gym and lifting weights. I'm going to the gym and lifting weights with fucking HGH coursing through my veins. So this is going to be a little bit of a faster process. I might actually stick to it.
I think once you saw your V-taper start to come in or like one ab, you'd be like, okay, I'm done for the next month. I don't need to work out anymore.
But also, I would have that one ab.
No, but
you would
be the guy that's like, no, I don't need to work out. I'm taking HGH.
Yeah. There was a guy in high school. His nickname was Googs. So you can imagine kind of like what we're working with. He did steroids. Because I don't know about you guys in high school. We had like a phase of steroids in high school.
Of course, yeah.
You know, everyone was doing ecstasy and steroids.
In my high school, there was a little bit of heroin, and then there were steroids. Mm, and I got asked my junior year, like, yo, are you on them? And I was like,
look at me.
You know what? I feel great with you asking
like,
me.
Thanks for the compliment.
Of course not. No.
He did steroids and did not touch a weight. Like, he just would like, inject himself and then literally never go to the gym.
Those guys always blow up into the weirdest shapes.
Yeah,
he was...
The stomach
comes out
wide,
like
they can't move their arms.
They're like
and
a reverse...
They have, like, a giant trap, but nothing else or something.
They're like a reverse Ninja Turtle shell. Like, it just all come out in the gut. It makes no sense.
No, it's weird.
I used to work at GNC, and people would come in and say, like, yeah, I'm just taking, like, a weight gain supplement right now and a whole bunch of protein. It's like, but not working out. It's like, but
That's
I don't know if you get how this
works.
How this works.
Shitting out protein. But yeah, so I like the self-awareness from him being like, yeah, I would never be able to do this. But he also was like, I'm fucking proud of the way I look. So like, I'm posting this picture because it's awesome.
Of course you're proud of the way you look. You look like a fucking Adonis.
I mean, exactly. Truly superhero type.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Jawline looking amazing. Oh, it's beautiful.
Now the problem is, can you still be funny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt.
Right. Okay, that's a good example. Because I was going to say like he
was fat and then he got in shape for Guardians. He's ripped now.
Yeah,
Jack,
that's a good example.
I still think Chris Pratt's hysterical.
Like I think Jonah Hill got skinny, but like kind of stopped doing funny roles when he was skinny, and he's funnier when he's fat.
Yeah.
This is, but Kumail was never like fat. He was just kind of like.
But
wow.
I think it depends on your style
like
of comedy,
a nerdy,
right?
Yeah.
It depends on like if you're a really physical actor. I think if your role kind of depends on like how you look. That really is kind of hard. Like if Chris Farley had gotten skinny or something, I don't think that comedy delivers the same way.
Yeah.
But like even Josh Peck, I think was another good example. I don't think he was as funny later on in Jake and Josh and stuff like that.
I think I would say that fat is always funnier, but it doesn't kill it, I guess.
Yeah. That might be a Deadspin article. Oh, wait, they're dead.
Can't fucking do it. I guess quickly, we got to recap Monday Night Football. Drew Brees went out there and pitched the football equivalent of a perfect game. Yet somehow his passer rating wasn't perfect. I don't know what the fuck else you got to do.
Giving up
understanding.
29? It was because... No, I don't fucking know.
He was like 28 for 29, over 300 yards, like four touchdowns. I mean, just as perfect of a fucking performance as you possibly can. So I'm sure there was quite a bit of people dancing on Drew Brees' grave or talking about moving on from him when he got hurt. Incorrect. Mm-hmm. Takes exposed.
question for the two on the rundown that actively are watching football. I saw that he broke this massive record.
For another mighty mark. Will he get it here? Yes! Touchdown pass, 5-4-0 in the 5-0-4.
But Tom Brady has the actual record because
for playoff
yeah.
games.
Yeah. Why would they count this and make it a big deal if it's not the real record?
Well, playoffs are, yeah, you gotta include playoffs because if you get stuck on a team that never makes the playoffs,
shitty,
it's not your fault, you know? It's like Mike Trout over in baseball, he can't have playoff numbers.
Dan
you know?
Marino or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I feel like then you don't get to celebrate though. Like you don't get both ways. You don't get it where it's like, well, let's make it fair for everybody, and then it's like, yeah, celebrate, give him the certificate on the field.
You know, it's an interesting argument.
It kind of sucks because it is like the ultimate team sport thing, right? Where it's like the playoffs is really indicative of your team success.
Yeah.
Like quarterback is obviously the most influential position, but it really just is so you need to be on a good team to be in playoffs that consistently.
I would argue that for everyone else, maybe, but for a quarterback, if you're not making the playoffs, mm-hmm. it's probably because
it's
of you.
It's your fault more
so
than
deserve,
anyone else.
Yeah. If you're like a lineman and you're not making the playoffs, mm-hmm. it's like, well, it's not really my fault. Quarterback, if you don't have playoff games under your belt, it's probably because you're not performing as well.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, right, even whatever records Brees has or doesn't have, like Tom Brady's still the GOAT. Doesn't matter.
I was going to say, the ultimate end of the day for this discussion, football records don't mean a fucking thing.
Don't mean anything. Tom
Baseball
Brady's still
numbers,
the best
you can
football
throw out
player.
The number, you know what I'm talking about. If you, mm-hmm. you know the players, you know the teams, you know it all. Nobody cares about the most passing yards ever.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares
nobody
about that.
Nobody cares.
As an outsider looking in, that was very bizarre to me that was such a big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I guess it makes sense, especially when someone is active, too. It's like, I won the record, except actually the guy who's still over here. He's the real one. Watchmen and Star Wars. I guess that's what we will sort of wrap up here. Star Wars dropped. You guys got the advanced screening. Were you in a theater or was it like a private?
No, it was a theater.
Okay, so a big theater.
Full of critics, full of snarky critics.
A lot of people sitting with their notepads.
Were they?
They were all making the same cat's jokes as they were walking into the theater.
Oh,
we were stranded
so
outside,
many.
By the way, for an hour
really
in, the
front,
in the rain. You know, I got that bad circulation and shit.
Yeah,
and
he was freezing.
Was freezing cold. And it was a press greeting, so there's a little bit of, like, no cheering in the press box.
Yes.
I was whooping it up in the beginning.
He did a big, like,
a few judgmental
looks. So, you know, between the golf guys and now the Star Wars hardos, you...
we might get, like...
Journalistic integrity of Barstool's under all time.
The lady came out and said, like, we're about to start the screening of Star Wars, and Rob goes, woo! And nobody else, everything else, dead quiet. Dead quiet.
Dead silent.
The rest of the theater.
Silent.
It was amazing.
Everyone did you guys, around, they lock looks. Up your phones like it was the
oh, yeah, they're bagged up.
They lock up your phones, you get
I got to do the Captain Marvel with you guys. I thought that movie stunk. I was very disappointed in that. But I liked the whole experience of getting to go.
It feels so cool.
Be ahead of everyone
it's
else.
Cool.
We know
it's
things
right
now. It's
an exclusive thing.
Knowing what you guys right now know the conclusion of probably, arguably, if not definitively, the biggest movie series ever.
Yeah.
And you know.
We know.
99.99%
Nobody else knows.
These guys, we know.
Nobody else here knows.
You don't know.
Well, Jeff knows.
Jeff
and Fran knows.
Fran knows.
It was you guys and Fran?
Yeah.
What a funny squad.
Fran is, people don't give Fran enough credit. She's a huge Star Wars.
She is Star Warrior.
In general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Kevin Smith used Star Warrior in his Instagram post last night.
It's happening.
Huge.
It's catching on.
Star Warrior.
It's catching on. But it was a really good time. I loved the
movie. Breaking news, Bob Fox loved the Star Wars movie.
People were giving me so much shit about this on Twitter. Did you want me to dislike the movie?
I actually would love to see. I would want to know what it takes.
I've never
for you to
hated
hate a movie.
I've never hated
episode,
a Star Wars movie.
One, right, or whatever.
I don't even hate that because it came out in 99. I was born in 98. So like by the time I was watching that, it was made for me.
Yeah,
it was made for kids.
Jar Jar Binks,
loved
right?
Jar Jar, loved all that kind of stuff. So I look at them 1, 2, and 3. Horrible movies.
Horrible.
Unquestionably. Some of
no
my favorite movies
it.
Of all time.
As long as you can admit that, though.
Oh, I could.
We were just talking about it.
That.
We were just talking about that with Revenge of the Sith. We're like, the movie is shit, but that opening sequence with the drums
there's
and
always,
everything, it's so
even
cool.
Even bad movies, there's still cool moments that...
Of course.
Now, you're a little more on the fence.
Yeah, I think we...
He's able to remain way more unbiased.
Yeah, I try and stay a little bit more subjective with all of it. I think it's very fan service-y, very safe movie.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't take any risks like they took with The Last Jedi. Obviously, whether that paid off, that's up to the viewer.
Two big Last Jedi fans here,
yeah,
by
two
the
big
way.
Last Jedi fans
it's
for
important
sure.
For people.
Like, the only two that exist.
It's one of those things.
No.
No,
but I mean, around these parts.
Yeah.
Put it this way. When Dikembe Mutombo is running around being like, that movie fucking sucked, and I know how much he loves Star Wars, that speaks to me. That means something.
But it's just.
Hank is on a crusade to just chop everyone's fucking arms and legs off with a lightsaber. Mm-hmm. That like that movie.
Yeah, Hank walked over to me and he was like, "I want to hear your opinion." And I was like, "Well, my opinion like won't matter much to you because you think The Last Jedi is the worst movie ever."
He's the opposite of you. I can't take you seriously because I know you're gonna love it. I can't take him seriously because I know he's gonna hate on that.
At the same time, if I didn't love it, I would definitely say it. Like Solo was a movie that I didn't love.
Mm-hmm. I like Solo a lot, actually. I liked Solo
the night of. I had like that recency bias the night of. If you go back and read my review, I'm sure I was a little more
overzealous.
I said I would watch a sequel. I said I would definitely watch a sequel of that. Looking back now, I'm like, not great.
Yeah, I mean that was Donald Glover, right? I mean that one. I mean I can't tell you a single thing. I never heard of.
We went to the theater on opening night.
I pretended
to
be Han Solo for it.
Yeah.
Here he is, Alden Ehrenreich, the newest Han Solo. Solo, A Star Wars Story, comes out tomorrow in theaters worldwide, and here he is. Nice to meet you, sir. It's an honor. It's a
pleasure.
Very
nice to meet you, yeah.
We're here in Times Square. You're promoting the movie, obviously. Are you excited for the release?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Everyone should come out and see it tomorrow. It's a masterpiece. Ron Howard's my favorite director, mostly because he's the second director I've worked with.
Unbelievable. A dream come true indeed.
Can I get a picture?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Ready? Are you not that person? Are you really?
I'm sorry?
Are you really that person?
I'm not that famous yet. I'm sorry.
It's nice
to meet you, Alden.
Nice to meet you.
Okay,
yeah. Bring it in. Bring it in. Yeah. Can you take the shades off? Is that really you?
Right there.
That is you. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
But it was just, so there are Star Wars movies that I can say, I didn't really enjoy that. I didn't enjoy this. I didn't enjoy that. There are things in this movie that I didn't enjoy. But overall, it's so satisfying conclusion to this trilogy.
The conclusion you're happy with?
So happy with.
I'm a little in between. Again, it's very, very safe. One thing I did like about The Last Jedi is it took a lot of risks as far as Star Wars movies go. There's no risk really almost whatsoever.
I disagree with that.
There's
like a handful, I think, where I was like, whoa, I'm surprised they went there.
I think that it's a good formula to take a risk on the second to last. Kind of play it safe for the final.
That's what they did in the original trilogy as well.
And call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Movie's out on Thursday. I'm going to see it twice Thursday night, once Friday, once Saturday, maybe Sunday.
The other
nerd thing sweeping the world right now, Watchmen. The finale was this past week. People are buzzing that this is one of the greatest shows basically ever.
I think that's fair to say.
Lindelof is, very adamant that he is done after season one. I am guaranteeing that HBO will not be done. Whether it's Watchmen season two or a spinoff or something, with or without Lindelof, they ain't just putting this one to bed.
There's too much opportunity, too much
money, too much everything on the table.
We've been doing our recap videos for all the episodes, and I said that on our finale one where I was like, Lindelof swears he only had one idea for one season and that's all he wanted to do, but why would HBO market this as the season finale they didn't believe that they were going to be doing more?
But I believe that Lindelof is done.
No, Lindelof,
everyone's going to price
him.
HBO comes along with a blank check.
He's like, listen, I have no ideas and no intentions to think up an idea, but if they come to me with it and I have an idea ready to go, I'll do it.
Well, okay, but that's... I think that's a no. I think saying if I come up with a brilliant idea, you can say that about anything.
But he turned this down for years too.
I think he turned Watchmen down
for years, and they just kept coming back to him, being like, "Can you do Watchmen?"
I think he's just kind of learned something from Lost, trying to stretch things past what he's able to do. So I think he's not going to. I think he also is probably seeing the mistakes that other people in his industry make, like Pizzolatto with season two of True Detective. Yep. I think he wants to avoid that at all costs, but at the same time, just timing-wise, HBO is going to move ahead with the season two, regardless of not if he is ready. So 100%, because
all those fronts.
This season one was as close to perfect as a TV series as you can really get. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to try and replicate that.
I don't want a season two.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people. I'm only halfway through, so it was so perfect.
Yeah. So
incredibly
perfect.
Satisfying.
I mean, I like what I see so far. I tried to watch the movie, kind of got distracted, didn't really like the movie. Watched a recap video. I'll tweet it out if you're interested in like a 17-minute comic book graphic novel recap that sets you up perfectly. That was very helpful, but it does seem like it's fucking legit, this show.
Oh,
and it's got the Lindelof, when he's good, is fucking the best.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
And I think that he's very smart to just keep it to, like, I'm not overexciting myself anymore. I think he's also probably, I think it's a good time to sneak back in the game after, like, a Game of Thrones failure.
Yeah.
It's like the heat is all the way over here on these guys.
Especially on,
I can come
on
back
the HBO
in.
Sunday night,
yes,
9 o'clock spot.
Exactly, yeah. That. So I think everything is very methodical and planned out by him right now, and I think he's smart to do so. So I think if I was him, I'd ride off into the sunset, and if I was HBO, I'd try to milk it, and I think both of those things are going to probably happen.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like I said, that first season was perfect. It's one of those things where
I think
the Watchmen sequel, which was the TV show, is better than the original. Talking about the graphic novel or the movie, anything like that.
Well, I think most people would say that it's definitely better than the movie.
Yeah, the movie was so
The novel
so
is probably
split.
Where you'll have...
Movie's agreed. Way better than people treat it.
What
way
about like a spin-off idea? What if it was just like a Dr. Manhattan show?
It's tough the way they
what's going
ended,
on with him in Mars. You know,
the way
different.
They, the way they ended Watchmen, you'll see when you finish the series, is
hard to like.
It's hard to do a spinoff. Yeah. The way they set things up and
which
the way they
good.
Ended things.
Self-contained universe, I think, is a totally fine thing for a series like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta almost approach it the way that they do with those shows in the UK, where they're just like, we're just doing this amount of time and it's over.
The UK has it right.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They got that down pat. It's wonderful.
Check out The Inbetweeners. That's Rob's recommendation here. One of my favorite comedies of all time, UK comedy.
And we wrap up with a little donation talk. First, our donation for Detective Joseph Seals, who was gunned down in Jersey City last week. His funeral was today, so we left it open through today. So up until midnight tonight, you can donate or buy a t-shirt. We are closing in on 300 grand, which is crazy. The donation tab page that we opened up got up over 100, and then we were at 170,000 t-shirt sales. So I'm sure with his service being today that his name will be out there and maybe on the front page of the news again. So we're hoping to get one last round of donations in to raise as much money for the 5 kids he left behind. So if you want to buy a t-shirt or donate, you have until tonight to do that. And also shout out to Fat Face, now Skinny Face JJ.
This morning at 4 a.m., my wife woke me up and said, our baby's fine, our 1-month-old is fine, but there is a puppy in our house. I just went to go get a pacifier downstairs, and there was a puppy in our house. I'm so confused. I get up, I go downstairs, and there was a puppy in our house. The front door is locked, the back door is locked, windows are locked. Kind of this mystery puppy in our house. How did this happen? And when I checked security footage, and it looks like, based on me just being a tired dad with a 1-month-old, when I came in from walking the dog, I closed the door, the bottom handle locked, and something didn't catch. So at some point in a storm last night, the wind blew the door open. In blowing the door open, our front door was open for a couple hours. And at 3:15, a injured, malnourished dog limped into our house. About 20 minutes later, with all the terrible things that could happen in that situation, a guy went by and actually yelled to make sure everything was okay and pulled the front door to our house closed. Thank you to him. We brought the puppy in. It was scared, limping, malnourished. We put it in a pen. We called animal control first thing in the morning, and they said, you can come in, surrender it, and it kind of goes into the system. Our other option was to go to vet. We went to the vet, checked. There was no chip. Even if there was a chip, this dog is in such bad shape. Whoever would have had it is a terrible person. So we've decided to keep the dog, and she's 9 years old, and we're going to give her a dignified end of her life. Now, a lot of people have said if you start a GoFundMe or something like that, we'd be happy to donate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open my Venmo. If you'd like to make a donation and help with some of the medical costs to take care of fleas, ticks, infections in the foot, dental work, heart murmur, and several other things we're going to find along the way that, you know, you're more than welcome to. If no one donates anything, this dog, we're going to take care of her regardless. If you donate and we get more money than what we need, we're gonna find a worthy cause. We're gonna make that donation. We're gonna turn this negative into a positive for the holiday season. I mean, we didn't expect it, but if all the bad things that could happen when your front door is left open, to end up with a sweet dog who just needs a good home, I mean, wow. This could have gone a lot worse. Happy holidays.
Yeah.
His story is wild. He, a stray dog ran up in his apartment one night, the door was open. Horribly mistreated and malnourished, and so he took it in and he opened up the Venmo. He raised over 20 grand. He's on CNN Inside Edition. It's front page news out in Philly. So he and his wife, who are also new parents, they have a 1-month-old, are taking in this dog, and they're gonna raise both of them together, which I take my hat off on that one.
Yeah,
I had a 1-month-old, I'd be like, we will find this dog a nice home. Someone else will raise this dog, but it ain't gonna be me. So congrats to them for just collecting living things and taking care of them.
As an animal lover, a dog lover, this really did warm my heart.
Yeah. I mean, and that dog looked like it went through some fucking
real shit.
It's nice, like, that they're gonna give that dog a great, like, ending for its life. That's like a beautiful thing.
A little
it's a beautiful
and
thing.
And
everyone that donated, like, $300,000. That's crazy.
That's a monster number. That's
awesome
enough.
Of you guys.
I mean, we raised $115,000 for Michael Davidson family, the firefighter who died last year, and Eileen, his wife. They were able to like add an extension onto their home, and all the kids got new bedrooms. So $300,000 is, you know, that's a number that's gonna do.
It's hard to even like wrap your brain around something of that magnitude.
Yeah, I mean, money can only go so far, but the burden of school
like
and housing and stuff
parent,
like that makes a big difference. So shout out to everyone who donated. Mm-hmm. Shout out to this guy last night, Bill Pulte. I think some people accuse him of being like a scammer, and I think he really is. His page has like 2 million followers, and he just promotes other fundraisers. And he took ours. Ours was pretty flat. Like we had maxed out at like 80, and it took it from 80 to 100,000. So shout out to that guy, and I know we get accused of stealing and scamming whenever we do this, so I'm sure it's the same for him. I think he's just a dude who's doing good work out there. So shout out to him for putting us over the top. Shout out to everyone who donated to Officer Seals and JJ's puppy, and shout out to you guys for holding it down today.
Rise
of Skywalker.
Listen
to my mom's basement
on Thursday.
Go check out Lights Camera Pod, and watch Watchmen.